So I think first and foremost, we have to be aware of the fact that we've been lulled and sedated by, let's call it, the hypnotic devices that have made us under-aware of some of the realities that we've heard on stage here. And I think parents have a significant role in being able to push back against one of the most important digital drug dealers are the school systems. And the schools have drank the Kool-Aid on screen time. And so they're hypnotizing our children with, and that, by the way, this, and I've studied this for 15 years, there's not one research study that shows the efficacy of screen time in schools and better educational outcomes. And yet that Kool-Aid has been drank, those initiatives, multi-billion dollar initiatives, ed tech, education technology is a $60 billion a year industry right now, without one research study to back it up. And what they're doing is they're priming our children for impulsivity, for sedation, for addiction. And so our children will be under aware of these larger issues that we're discussing. So parents are beginning to wake up that they are the stakeholders of their school districts. And I've worked with a variety of parent organizations that have pushed back against the schools, because you could be the most tech-cautious family that you can be, but if the environment is toxic or your school is being inundated by screen time, wired or otherwise, one-to-one initiatives in schools, parents have fought back against that, pumped the brakes on how young children are with being given screens. It used to be, where I came from in New York, that it was high school, and then there was eighth grade, then there was seventh grade, then it was fifth grade, and now it's third grade, now it's first grade, now it's kindergarten. Those initiatives have to be pushed back. And schools are we are the stakeholders of public schools. And so if we can organize, and I have, there was a mother in Maryland who created an organization, and she got a legislator involved, and she limited, single-handedly, she created legislation and limited screen time in schools based on OSHA, public safety office guidelines based on ocular effects. She said there were, from the 1990s, there were guidelines for office workers only being able to be on screens for a certain amount of time just based on the ocular impacts. And so if it was good enough for office workers in the 1990s, why are there no limits on screen times for children? And so she used that as the tip of the spear to create legislation in Maryland for Maryland schools. So one parent with passion and motivation was able to impact a whole state. So we can do things. We can organize and push back. We don't have to allow this to happen. We don't have to go quietly into the night while this happens to us.
So now I'd like to introduce Paul McGavin. Paul, there you are. And can we turn on the podium mic, please? Thank you very much, Paul.
You're welcome.
Paul is a scientist for Wired Technology and has been a very active force in fighting the antennas in Marin, right?
And a lot of other places. So I just want to say thank you very much for a great program. We just loved all the great information. You've been doing this for so long, Camilla. I remember watching the first videos back from 2010, and now it's 2019, and they get better and better every year. And so we have great information here. Great information here, but we got to turn that into action, and that's what I'm all about. So I'm going to steal a line from George Gobel. You ever feel like the whole world is a tuxedo and you're a pair of brown shoes? Well, that's me, okay? I got a site called Scientists for Wired Technology, but I'm not a scientist. I read a lot of science, I report on science, and my goodness, we're getting some good results using advocacy based on that science. There's really two websites. One is mystreetmychoice.com. That's the on-ramp, where all the cities are gathering to compare strategies of how they can actually return local control to their community and figure out the best way to integrate broadband into their town. What's the right mix of fiber optic? What's the right mix of some wireless, but not being overrun by wireless? Scientists for Wired Technology is more like an encyclopedia, and it tells you exactly all the best strategies and ways that you can actually get effective ordinances done, okay? First thing I want to note is that we are actually in a toxic environment right here, okay? So these are two great meters, not very expensive. RF Explorer, under $300, and this one is about $400. That's a Safe and Sound Pro 2. But we got 20,000 microwatts per square meter, and it's all the range, the panoply of frequencies. We got 817 and 850 and 900 and 1900, and we're getting inundated right here in San Francisco because San Francisco is one of the most toxic urban environments I have encountered. And we actually have to get this fixed, and we are right in the mix right now. San Francisco is one of the few cities that passed a precautionary principle back in 2003. It means that every policy has to go past the San Francisco Department of Health. They get to vote on it. And they, at this time, right now, this week, this day, about to update their recommendation from some ridiculous memo from 2010 to something that should reflect the science of 2019. What I would like to invite each of you to do tomorrow is to get that video that you got right here and walk with me into Dr. Tomas Aragon's office and tell him personally exactly how he should change that memo based on the excellent information that you have compiled. Here's a man who's very well-meaning, great guy. You can read up on his blog. He's a really nice guy. He's busy. He's got bosses. He's got multiple agendas. He's got city attorneys to deal with. He has a chance to do something seminal this week or not. This is where we are in San Francisco. There were over 400 small cells installed in San Francisco. It's a dense city. These antennas go 6 to 12 feet from homes. It's second, third, four-story buildings. These antennas are literally outside of the bedrooms of the children. We have informed Dr. Tomas Aragon that is a condition of child endangerment. As an MD, he must report that condition. This was put into the San Francisco public record back on October 22nd when I first met with him and I spoke to the Board of Supervisors. We're not going to go quietly into the night. This is not what we need to do. We need to return local control to the people and the residents of the towns where they can weigh in and say, what do we need? And here's the good news. We never thought it would happen, but we have some real all-stars on our team right now, and they live in Washington, D.C. And they are the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals judges. And I'm telling you, we should have the wave for these guys, okay? They are doing a great job for us right now. They are so exasperated by this FCC, this Trump FCC, they are slapping them silly right now. You read these decisions, and the FCC is becoming a serial loser in the courts. And we've had two great decisions right now that we could take advantage of. Number one, August 19th, the industry is trying to say, oh, these small cells, 800,000 of them, no big deal. They're the size of a pizza box. Don't worry. Judges didn't buy it, not one second. Excuse me? How much power is coming out of these things? Huh. Yeah, it's not small. How many? 800,000? How many do we have now, 300,000? Yeah. That's nothing. That's not nothing. That's something. Tell you what, we're going to vacate that portion of the order, and we're going to actually make you go back to square one, and you're going to have to actually do environmental review on this whole rollout program. That's what they said. That's exactly what you need to tell every single city and say, until we have specific rules for this class, then we need to actually shut it down. Okay. We need to stop.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I told them 3 minutes.
The most important information gets shut down. There's two other decisions to talk about. There are lawsuits. People need funding. There's great stuff going on, folks.
So thank you. Thank you very much, Paul. And be in touch with Paul if he can help you locally. And I just want to say one other question was, is there going to be a video of this presentation? Yes, we're filming it. It should be ready sometime next week on electromagnetichealth.org. And so thank you all for coming. Really appreciate the audience. And thank you to our panelists.